welcome to GW Healthcast. Joining us today is Dr. Michael Whalen. He's an associate professor of urology at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences, the chief of urologic oncology and the director of the genitourinary multidisciplinary clinic at the George Washington University Hospital. He's here to give us updates in the treatment of muscle-invasive bladder cancer, such as robotic surgery and immunotherapy.
I'm your host, Dr. Andrew Wilner. Welcome, Dr. Whalen.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us, Dr. Whalen. Now, to get started, how common is bladder cancer?
Bladder cancer is actually pretty common. It's not as common as prostate cancer, but bladder cancer is the fourth most common cancer in men. It's a smoking-related cancer, which means that smoking is a risk factor. Most people think of smoking-related cancers being like lung cancer, but there are carcinogens that filter into the urine through the blood from smoking when they go through the lungs. And these carcinogens kind of sit in the urine as the urine's collecting in the bladder and sort of bathe the inner lining of the bladder. And so it exposes over time the lining of the bladder to developing tumors.
Yuck.
Yep, exactly.
Do not want to do that. So healthy living and no smoke in the body is one way to decrease your risk of developing bladder cancer. Is that right?
Exactly. There are certain other chemical exposures that can cause a risk as well, such as certain cleaning solvents like benzene or certain dyes in the textile industry or even hairdressers, aniline dyes. A lot of regulations have reduced use of these things and exposure for people, but you know they still can be risk factors as well.
Now, if I had bladder cancer, I would want to treat it as soon as possible, but how would I even know if I have it?
The most common symptom associated with bladder tumors is having blood in the urine. So that can be seen either microscopically on a urinalysis or grossly with the urine actually looking bloody. Urinalyses are usually done as part of an annual physical with the primary care doctor.
Okay, now I know that PSA, it's a blood test, goes up with prostate cancer. Is the PSA useful for bladder cancer too?
That's a great question. The PSA is specific for prostate cancer, so it's not a useful test for bladder cancer. The most common screening tool that we would use is the urine analysis to make sure that there's no gross or microscopic blood.
Okay, so if my doctor tells me, hey, we looked at your urinalysis, there's some blood in there, it's like, well, what do I do now?
So we should rule out any kind of urinary infection, and that would be done with a history and elicitation of certain symptoms like burning, frequency, urgency, lower abdominal pain, fever. And once that's ruled out, then the next step is to undergo imaging such as an ultrasound or a CT scan to look at the entire urinary tract from the kidneys and down to the ureters, down to the bladder and the urethra. And then there is an endoscopic examination performed through the urethra, which may sound a little bit horrible, but done under local numbing. You know, you feel the patient feels a little bit of pressure, but not usually pain. And we examine the urinary tract in the urethra and the bladder to make sure there's no tumors or polyps that were not identified on the imaging.
Right. So that's just a long little tube with a light on the end and a camera, I guess, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it turns out you found something. Now, do I need a specialist for this, or is this a straightforward thing, or what happens next?
That's also a good question. So typically, the urine tests are done by someone's primary care doctor, and then once it's established that there's concern, or even the imaging can be done by the primary care doctor, and once there's concern and need for the endoscopic evaluation, which is known as a cystoscopy, that's usually done by the urologist. So that's done by a specialist.
Okay. And I guess if during that cystoscopy, the urologist sees something, he'll take a little piece of it? Or is that a separate procedure to do a biopsy?
That's usually a separate procedure done under anesthesia, simply because it's a little uncomfortable to do in the office. And you know, we can't do office biopsies. But one of the objectives of the biopsy is to get a sense of the aggressiveness of the cells and also understand the depth of invasion into the wall of the bladder. The treatment of the tumor is different if it's superficial versus if it's invading into the muscle layer. When it's invading into the muscle layer, we get more concerned that there's microscopic cells that have already spread through the lymphatic system into the lymph nodes next to the bladder. And so we need to understand that through a surgical procedure, which is done under general anesthesia as an outpatient.
So bladder cancer can spread to the rest of the body if it's not treated early.
So bladder cancer, unfortunately, has a high lethality potential associated with it, which is why anytime there's blood in the urine, you know, we presume that it's a tumor until we prove otherwise. So we take it all very seriously.
Yeah, I bet you do. Now, do you have you need a medical oncologist and a surgeon and a urologist, because there's all kinds of different treatments, right? There's medicines, there's surgery, there's radiation. Somebody's got to figure out, you know, how to use these and which combination. Do you have all that set up at George Washington Hospital?
Yes, that's a great question. So there's often multidisciplinary approach to treating the disease, enlisting the services of a medical oncologist, also radiation oncologist. Once we've established that the disease is muscle invasive, which is more concerning, that's when we consider giving systemic therapy. And that systemic therapy helps to address the potential for lymph node involvement. Systemic therapy usually takes the form of chemotherapy or even more cutting edge immunotherapy, you know, for well-selected and appropriate patients. We have a multidisciplinary genitourinary cancer clinic at GW that I'm the director of, which is a prime setting to have all these specialists meet in one location and have the patients and their families allowed ample time to spend the afternoon asking questions of each of us and tailoring a personalized and precision medicine approach to their disease. We also have the option for enrollment in clinical trials, depending on what the person's disease profile is, if they're suitable for that.
Well, that sounds like a great resource for patients. Dr. Whalen, we've talked before about prostate cancer, and I know that sometimes you use the robot. What about bladder cancer? Is the robot useful?
So for muscle-invasive bladder cancer, the standard of care is radical cystectomy in combination with systemic therapy, either chemotherapy or immunotherapy. So just as the robotic approach is the standard of care for prostate removal surgery, it's also become the standard of care for bladder removal surgery. So it harnesses all the benefits of minimally invasive surgery, less pain, shorter hospital stay, faster recovery. We also experience less blood loss, and so patients, you know, sort of feel better after the operation. We have an enhanced recovery after surgery, our ERAS protocol at GW Hospital, that also optimizes the perioperative state and allows patients to do better after surgery. We also can utilize our understanding of anatomy during bladder removal surgery to spare the neurovascular bundle and allow for sexual performance retention after the operation. So just as we're very careful to want to maintain sexual performance and erections after prostate surgery, you know, that understanding can be utilized for men after bladder removal surgery to afford the same high quality of life after the operation. So, you know, the robotic approach is very much fundamental to the way that we practice at GW, and I'm, you know, very glad to be able to offer the latest generation of the Da Vinci robot, the XI, to our patients.
Well, we're just about out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Dr. Whalen?
Yeah, bladder cancer is actually a very common disease that many people don't know about. It's smoking related. Anytime there's blood in the urine, that should be taken very seriously and reported to your primary care doctor, who can then inform the urologist and get the workup going. Early detection means higher chance of cure and a greater chance of utilizing the broad treatments that we have available to cure the disease.
Dr. Whalen, I want to thank you for this great discussion of modern approaches to bladder cancer treatment.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us on GW Healthcast. To schedule an appointment, please call 1-888-GW-DOCS or visit gwhospital.com for more information or to get connected with one of our providers. Please also remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other fascinating podcasts from the George Washington University Hospital Library. Physicians are independent practitioners who are not employees or agents of the George Washington University Hospital. The hospital shall not be liable for actions or treatments provided by physicians. Individual results may vary. There are risks associated with any procedure. Speak with your physician about these risks to find out if surgical procedures are right for you.